Say, you're going to find out for yourself what kind of guy this is when he starts speaking. So, Mike, it is all yours.
Fantastic. Thank you. Good morning. Y'all look good. I'm talking to you ladies. Only to the ladies. I've never met a good-looking guy in my whole life. You're all ugly. I just tell you that right now. I mean, look at it seriously. I mean, I know that's probably not the best way to start offending you right away. Make you want to listen, but ladies, I mean, you're so soft and curvaceous and emotional and tender. You're just seductive, scarily can be, but just wonderful. I mean, you're just, did you realize that when you read the Bible, you're the last of all God's creation? After he made you, he stopped. Because after he made man, he said, I could do better. That's true. But, I mean, you're just lovely. Look at it, and all these forms and features and everything else. Us guys, you're ugly. God, look at this. I mean, you got hair growing out of your face. You're nasty. God, then we lose our hair and everything else. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's kind of a good thing. At least it can be. Hey, I want to just, you know what's really cool about going somewhere else to speak? Because here's the thing. I'm a pastor. For those of you who don't know, I mean, I pastor a church. Actually, two of them. We have two locations, two buildings, and our staff. And I've been there 24, 26 years. 26, 27. We've been married 28, 27 years. I've been at this church. You can tell how excited I am to get away once in a while. No. You know, the really neat thing about it is when you get away, whenever you're away, you're a big shot. Because when you're home, you're just a small shot. I mean, that is by definition. You know what the definition of a big shot is? It's a small shot who's more than 50 miles away from home. You know, that's the definition of a big shot. It really is a joy to be here. My wife and I just got back last Thursday from a 6,000-mile bike trip. Isn't that cool? You're all envious, aren't you? Uh-huh, I can tell. Yep, pretty wild. Hey, you know, I heard this really neat little story. Kindergartner was going to school. Got to school, told his teacher, "Teacher, on the way to school, I saw a cat, but it was dead." Teacher said, "How'd you know it was dead?" Little boy said, "I pissed in its ear." Some of you right now say, "I can't believe he said pissed in church." He said, "I pissed in his ear." And the teacher a little, "You did what?" "Well, you know, I went down and went, psst." It was dead. You know, you really have to listen. In fact, even as I speak this morning, and it is my joy to speak to you, I'm going to say some things that are going to rattle your cage. I'm going to say some things that are going to, never heard that in church before, but I want to remind you, I'm a pastor. I would speak this way in my church. Pastor Roger, you are one brave soul for having me back. I can tell you that. You are a brave soul. You got to listen, because I've heard different articles, and they say, well, you know, Pastor Mike said this, and I'm like, I never said that. And I'll hear different people. You got to listen, okay? There's this guy laying in a hospital bed. You got the air oxygen mask on him, you know, and he just came out of surgery, and the nurse comes in to check him. She says, "How are you?" And he says, "Are my testicles black?" And she looked at him and said, "What?" She said, "Say what again?" He said, "Are my testicles black?" And she's, "Well, I don't want to just check." I mean, she was really beside herself. So he said it again. "Are my testicles black?" So she went over to the bottom of the bed, grabbed the sheet, lifted it up, and he's like, "What are you doing?" She said, "No, your testicles aren't black." He took off the mask and says, "No, are my test results back?" You gotta listen. Now, here's the thing. Pastor Roger, you're not like on cable around here, are you? Okay. Yeah, I'm not ready for prime time. You know what's really interesting about a church kind of doing a whole Biker Sunday thing? I think that's so cool. Because, you know, really, honestly, and I'm going to include myself in this group, as bikers, we are weird. We are. You're all goofy. I mean, we wonder why people look at us kind of strange. Look how you're dressed. I mean, you walk any restaurant or something else, I mean, you look like a freak, man. You got patches and bells and whistles and handkerchiefs. And then, I mean, just look at your face. You look like a doggone raccoon. I mean, we are the freakiest bunch. And if you're not careful till you walk in a restaurant or something, because you've been on your bike and you got the wind and the noise, especially if you're behind a Harley, if you could be so lucky, follow the big dog. Okay, so you're going, you know, and it's the wind all day and the noise and stuff, and you're not aware of it, but now your hearing is a little off. So you walk in a restaurant, hey, man, how you doing? You're just with your buddies. Hey, how you doing? Wasn't that a great ride? Hey, it's fantastic. And the whole restaurant's turning around, and you're like, what are they looking at? When you ride, me and, you know, my buddies, we take these long trips. I mean, you get on your bike, you ride for a whole gas tank, right? So you've been on your bike for a couple hours, a little over. It's really amazing. When you get together, the first thing you do is you start recounting back all the cool things you saw. And every one of you saw it, even if it was at the beginning of the ride. Hey, when we took off, man, did you see that barn? Yeah, I saw that. Wasn't that cool? Hey, a little farther down, did you see that little creek? Yeah, I saw it. And you're in a restaurant. We are freaks. It's just wild. It is. I'm going to let you know that I got saved. I was a drug addict and an alcoholic. I'm not sure if I shared my testimony last time, but just to tell you that when I heard the gospel message, I was afraid. Because the very first time I heard the gospel message, I knew it was true. I mean, my heart was convinced and convicted that that was true, that I needed to repent of my sins, ask Jesus Christ to come into my life to be saved, to go to heaven. I knew it. I felt the conviction in my life, but I ran for, you know, about a little over a year, resisting it. Finally, obviously, I gave in, surrendered my life to Christ, asked Christ to come into my life. And I tell you what, I thought I was living with, you know, the drinking and the drugs and all that. And tell you what, it wasn't until I found Christ that I started to really live. I mean, life is a gas. I mean, it is a joy. With that being said, I'd like to just share with you this morning about this idea that we are real people living in a real world, worshiping a real God. I have to admit, that is kind of the subline of our church. It's kind of like, it is what I believe to the very core, that we're just real people. I mean, real people. Sometimes as Christians, man, we don't want to actually admit that we're real people. There's so much phoniness. And I remember I rebelled to the phoniness of the church for years, seeing all these phonies and stuff like that. You're fanning back there. It's warm in here, isn't it? I am dying. Okay, here goes this whole argument, huh? How many people think it's too hot? 20% of you. How many people think it's too cold? 20% of you. But the phonies. You know, I have to admit, if you're here this morning and you've heard the gospel message and you haven't given it because you're just sick and tired of all these phonies and this whole Christianity thing, I want to address you this morning. But all those of you who are Christians, I want to address you too. Address, not undress. Ah, address. We are real people. It's really funny when I tell, you know, jokes. I will never make a joke about sin. But whenever I talk about jokes about, like, sex, because sex is cool. I can't believe he said that. It's in church. No, here's the deal. That's what I mean. The church has avoided subjects like that forever. You know, the Bible says the truth sets free. And we suppress the truth. We push it, we deny it, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to admit it. And young people growing up, and we sense that, and they're starting to feel it, and they're starting to feel like, hey, sex is cool. What do you think, brother? Good. You're looking good. I like your haircut. Do you think sex is cool? There we go. Woo! Here's the thing. Sex is good. It was very good. In fact, God created it, and he says it is good. After he created everything, it is good. Now, sex inside a marriage is cool. There's this idea that, I mean, we need to talk about it in a healthy way. Otherwise, we come across like as if we're phonies or whatever else. And this idea, oh, thanks, brother. Coming to my rescue. Now you don't know where to put it, down here or up there. Oh, that's good. I like that. That'll work. This whole idea of male and female issues, we don't like to admit it and all that. And I remember as a young kid asking God, God, breasts, what in the world were you thinking? You put them right out there in front. I mean, you can't escape them. They're just there. And I'm like, what are you going to do about that? It's like, oh, man. And I almost like if God says, well, if I'd have put them in the back, it would have made dancing interesting, wouldn't it? You know, it's like, now here's the deal. You see, we never talk about things like this when we ought to. They're healthy. They're we are real people. We're real people. But how is it? Why is it somehow the church gets this idea that when you become a Christian, oh, psh, you step into a different world and you never, ever talk about and address real issues and real stuff. We start to even think, well, you can't wear the same clothes that the world is wearing because the Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Man, I tell you what, I agree in holiness. I agree with holiness, man. We can't start making up our own rules. Problem I have is sometimes we confuse what the real rules should be. Remember a few years back, my kids wanted to wear the pants with the crotch down to here. You know, you can make about 6 pair out of one, you know. You guys think that's funny, don't you? Uh-huh. Yeah. Your mom's so thrifty, she probably bought a pair of those and made 6 pair for all of you kids. We had this idea that, well, you can't, a Christian can't dress like that. Friends, again, let's just think. We've got to be serious. We think that Jesus meant come off among them world and be separate, meant by the way we dress. Issues like that. I mean, if you want to wear an earring, if you want to wear long hair, short hair, no hair, if you want to tattoo your body, I mean, like, big deal. When Jesus had come out from among them, I think he meant things like this. I don't want you to take vengeance into your own hands. You see, the world gets even. I want you to forgive. You know, the Bible says, or the world, they'll hate their enemies. Jesus said, if you're going to be one of my followers, don't be like the world. Come out from among them. I want you to love your enemies. You see, and we are really good at being long, at studying the scriptures, memorizing verses, plastering bumper stickers on our cars, but not even reaching first base when Jesus said, love your enemies. I mean, we're phonies so many times. Friends, we are real people living in a real world where stuff happens. We live in a real world. Hey, bad things happen. How do you explain it sometimes? I don't know. People come to me often, obviously, as a pastor. Pastor Roger, I'm sure they do to you too. Things are happening in the world or calamities in the world or in their personal life. And they come to you and they say, Pastor, what is God doing? What does this mean? I take great joy at times saying to them, I don't know. God does not report in with me in the morning and tell me his agenda. My job is to report in with him and try to get tuned into his agenda. Man, we serve a big God, but you know something? Things happen. Stuff happens. Now, Roger, as crazy as I am, I've always thought about it. I haven't done it. I want to make a bumper sticker for our church that says, stuff happens. But spell it correctly. Come to Maranatha and find out what to do with it. Wouldn't that be a great bumper sticker? Hey, stuff happens. Come to Maranatha and find out what to do with it. Stuff happens. Come here and find out what to do with it. Anyway, a real God. A real God. He's not surprised by the things that we try to hide from him. I mean, I think it's really funny when we come to God. So many times as Christians, we come and we have all this pomp and all this, okay, we're going to pray. And we get all whatever, and we start to pray. And we don't really share honestly what's in our heart. We make it sound really flowery and really nice when our heart is wrenching inside. We want to say, God, this sucks. But we don't do that. We can't do that. Because you got to be proper. And, you know, God's a big God. There are these preachers standing around talking about the best position to pray in. The Catholic priest says, oh, the best position to pray in is kneeling. You know, genuflect and kneel. The Baptist said, no, I disagree. Man, the best position to pray in is laying prostrate on the carpet at the altar. The Pentecostal said, no, I disagree with both of you guys. Man, the best way to pray is, man, with your arms stretched out to heaven, just calling out to God. Well, there happened to be a telephone repairman overhearing the conversation. He said, gentlemen, he said, I have to admit, I eavesdropped on your conversation. I've heard, you know, your discussion about the best way to pray. He said, I can tell you this personally. I've done some of my best praying hanging upside down from a telephone pole. It usually comes out like this. Oh, God! You know, it's not none of those pretense and all this kind of stuff. Man. Okay. Been good to get with you. I'm gonna start to talk now. Okay, is that all right? I want to share with you this idea of coming from the foundation that we are real people living in a real world, worshiping a real God. Why is it that we're so phony? You know, why is it? Okay, there's this wonderful little passage in Exodus chapter 20. 20, and it happens to be a pretty important setting. It's the giving of the Ten Commandments, okay? I mean, think about this. This is pretty intense. God is giving the Ten Commandments to the world through Moses. He's giving it, and then right after he gives the Ten Commandments, he goes into this little dissertation God does, commanding man about how to worship him, how to build an altar. And here's what he says. Make an altar of earth for me. Those of you who are writing this down or you want to look it up later, it's Exodus chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Make an altar, just so you can prove that I'm, you know, telling you the truth. There's always someone in the group that's so skeptic. That preacher, he's going to lie to me. I just know it. Exodus chapter 20. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. Listen to this. I want you to make an altar, God says, of earth. I want you to make an altar of dirt. Man, God doesn't get more earthy than that. He goes on, he says, if you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. You know, I have to admit, whenever we think about doing something for God, we, oh, thanks, bud. Can I have a hug? Yeah. All right. Oh, hey, thank you. You got the badge of courage this morning. You know, wherever we think about approaching God, we always think about making it really grand, really perfect and complete and beautiful. You know, our perception, the church has shaped our perception so far, I think, from what the Scriptures does in so many different areas. You see, like I said, I wasn't raised in a church as a pastor. I got saved and God called me to preach. And I remember arguing with God. God, I don't know what a preacher's supposed to do. And almost like I heard God say, I know. That's why I called you. All I know is two things. Love God with all my heart and love people. Every once in a while, I get in trouble as a pastor, as you can imagine. you know, my district leadership, Mike, you know, I spoke at the, I pastor an Assembly of God church. I spoke at the men's convention of all the men that weekend. It was like 1,400 guys, and I spoke. I was the guest speaker, and the district office got 17 calls complaining. And I thought to myself, honestly, I have such a passion for me for being real and honest and for people to see a true image of who God is and of Jesus instead of this church world that we make up that's just so unbelievably not accurate at times, that I said to Brother St. John, our district superintendent, I says, you know, if I ever speak again, I'm hoping for four times that. Because I think it's really time to start rattling some people's cages and making them think. This idea of being phony. God said, make an altar of dirt. Every one of us would say, I want to make something better. God says, no, I like it. I like things just pure, earthy. Yet we try to doll up. We try to, man, try to get a new image of what God really looks like and expects. It's interesting. Okay, phony. So I got the top three things. Why we do not live in truth. Why we live under this cloak of phoniness. Number one, and that is because we are afraid of fun. The church. The church is afraid of fun. They don't know what to do with fun. I call it euphoric phobia. That sounds really great, doesn't it? Euphoric phobia. This idea of being euphoric and just really being high and really being just, whoo, if it's pleasurable to the flesh, the church somehow goes, they panic. We do not know how to have fun. And there's where I scare the living jeepers out of a lot of preachers and Christians. I show up and I'm having fun. I don't talk all that religious very often, and I'm just having fun. I'm having a ball. And people look at me and go, you're having way too much fun to be a Christian. Let alone a pastor. You're a pastor? What kind of pastor are you? A fun one. I just like to have fun. You know, and you think about, and I believe here's why. The Bible talks about everything that real often talks about fun or sin, it talks about the flesh. The flesh in Scripture generally is a negative word. You know, crucify the flesh. Don't give in to the desires of the flesh. The flesh, somehow or another, though we have not been able to distinguish between this idea when it says to crucify the sinful desires in you. It doesn't say all desires. It says the sinful desires. I mean, do you realize that the way we're made, let's come back to this whole sex thing for a minute. Pastor Roger sweats every time I say that. you know, Sinbad said, he says, his deal is, he says, ladies, you make us lie. That's his deal. He says, we wouldn't lie, but you make us lie. He's walking down the beach with his wife one day, okay, walking down, and this really young, hot thing in a small bikini walks by, and he ends up doing one of these neck benders, you know. She slaps him and says, what are you looking at? Huh? What are you looking at? Is that what you like? Huh? Is that what you want? And he looked at her and says, no, honey. He said, I like the way your butt drags in the sand. This whole idea of being euphoric, having fun. You know, the church doesn't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do. Like I said, I will never make a joke, hopefully, ever about sin, adultery, incest, homosexuality, sex before marriage. Hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. Very clearly in the Scripture talks about it, it's wrong. That's not healthy. But God, when He created you, I mean, here's the deal. Before puberty, I mean, you ladies, you looked at the guys around the school ground before puberty, and they had cooties. They had germs. Couldn't see them. Jesus and germs. Can't see either one of them. Guys, same thing. Man, before puberty, man, a lady could stand naked right in front of you, and you'd go, you're kind of fat. Couple spots. You know, I mean, it would mean nothing. See, we try to spiritualize everything. Here's the deal. When we were created, this thing called estrogen and testosterone got put in our system, and all of a sudden, we became living beings. No, we became sexual beings. Again, guess what? Do you realize that animals do not experience the intimacy, pleasure, joy of adults, of humans? It was put there by God. So now, to deny that, and again, you think about a whole growing up, and I'm freaked out. A lot of you here this morning, I am sure, I'm sorry, but I want to challenge you to think, okay? Because we, in the church, we didn't know how to react to it. And as soon as you start growing up, you go, we get the idea that that's dirty. That's bad. The Bible says the truth sets free. I remember when our oldest, Samson, was about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years old, standing with Orlean, my wife. I never introduced her. Can I do that right now? Honey, would you just stand really quick? My wife is with me. Yes. And a group of those freaky people from church as motorcyclers with a raccoon, the whole deal. She's standing by the checkout counter, and you know how dangerous that can be. By the checkout counter and all the magazine covers there, and she saw him looking at one of the covers rather intensely because there were things to look at. And she didn't make him feel bad. She didn't, you know, chastise him. She just looked at him and says, so, what are you looking at? You know, he's a little bit embarrassed. Mom, you know, she says, yeah, I was looking there. And she said, you like what you see? I'm trying to imagine, how do you answer that question to your mother? He boldly, knowing the relationship they have, said, yeah. She said, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. You were designed to be attracted to that. However, it opened up the wonderful thing, again to emphasize from early age, but it's a gift to be saved for marriage. Taught correctly, it brings tremendous freedom, tremendous joy. Man, I believe personally, in the church, we got more sexual problems because we have suppressed the truth, we have disbanded it, we have pressed it aside, we've not addressed things, and not only sex, I mean so many other issues, music, our dress, how we act and behave towards one another. We are afraid of fun. Man, you need to lighten up a little bit. Now, granted, this morning we are. But, I mean, in your everyday, regular life, as a Christian, I want to encourage you to relax. I know some Christians, they won't laugh at Ellen DeGeneres. She's homosexual. She's funny. When she tells a joke, it really doesn't matter if she's heterosexual or homosexual. She's funny. But some Christians, I can't laugh at her. You're missing out. Now, if she's making jokes that is inappropriate for Christians to laugh at, that's one thing. Are you with me? You know, the Bible says, one of my absolute favorite Bible verse is John 10:10. It's the whole gospel in a nutshell. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, I want you to have a life. Man, so many Christians, they're not living life. And then we try to witness to other people and say, give your life to Christ. And they look at us like, why would I want to live my life as miserable as you are? Man, so many times we as Christians, we go through life like, I got to serve God. Like it's a chore. I got to pray. I got to read my Bible. I got to be moral. I got to be honest. I can't just go around hitting people. We make it sound like a chore. Do you realize in 1 John 5:3 it says this? And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, comma, and his commandments are not burdensome. Man, there's so many of you and I as Christians, we're walking through life giving the illustration, the idea that I gotta live for God today. I gotta be a good witness. Like as if it's a chore. Friends, Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. I mean, we ought to smile and enjoy life, make people wonder what you've been up to. Man, I've been drinking from the well of salvation, floating down the river of life, sucking Harley fumes. It is great. Ow, 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 ow. I mean, it's good. And we just freak people out by our life and our enthusiasm. tragically. God, I'm so off track. They never give me an ending time, so I don't really care, right? I just go. The other day, this is a tragic reality. I'm at a wedding. I did a wedding, and we're there, and I didn't meet all the family. I'm sitting there at one of the table that they had assigned for me, so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to one of the family members, and I said, never met her. I looked and I seen a woman sitting at a table. I said, that lady over there, I said, you know, if I had to guess, I'll bet she's a preacher's wife. He looked at me. He said, how did you know? I said, because she looks like she's been sucking on prunes. Can I tell you this? Nobody ever guesses that I'm a pastor. I wonder why. You know, because we don't fit in that stereotype. I've had people tell me, you ought to walk a little slower. You know, I've had people tell me that, yeah, you shouldn't get so excited. I know what they want. Bless God. And this morning, friends, as we gather in this place to revere and honor the most almighty of all creation. Now, here's the deal. If that's really you, I'll pray for you, but that's good. Just stay you. But I think so many people, they try to fit into this mold of something that is not real. It's not valuable. Friends, we as Christians, I believe, are afraid of a fun. And we really ought not to be. Jesus said, I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be full. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. I tell people this. God said, let your light so shine before men that they give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Okay, let. That's a passive word. You realize that? It's not an aggressive word. It's a passive word. Let, relax. I think so many Christians, we're uptight. We want to try to witness to somebody. We kind of bolster up the courage, and we kind of, okay, we're really going to let them have it. Did you know that God loves you? And if you don't accept him, you're going to go to hell. Ooh, where's a shot of the good news? What's the bad news? And we kind of, it's so unnatural. When Jesus said, hey, I tell people this, ever since Jesus came in your life, he's been dying to get out of there. Just think about it for a moment. Ever since Jesus came in your life, just let him come out of your life. It shouldn't be work. I remember in my college days, I worked at a fiberglass factory. And one day, and I'd share the Lord occasionally when a time was right and it was appropriate. One day during lunch, the union steward came up to me and says, Mike says, we all got together, and we're sick and tired of hearing about all this Jesus stuff. And I said, I know. You think, he said, there's a time and a place for that. I said, I know. You think the time is Sunday morning, the place is in church. He said, yeah, that's right. I said, Jim, let me ask you a question. I said, when you guys get together during lunch break, what do you guys talk about? He thought about it for just a half second. He says, I talk about my friends and the things that we did over the weekend. I looked at him. I says, Jim, I'm just talking about my friend and the things we've done over the weekend. I mean, it's a natural relationship with a living God. It's not this religious thing you got to try to put on and become and force. Man, just lighten up. Number two, let me get rolling here. God, it'd be nice to be invited back. The second reason I believe why we don't live in truth, not only because we're afraid of fun, but number two, we take ourselves way too seriously. Man, we take ourselves way too seriously. Our titles, our positions. In the church world, that we appear spiritual. We take ourselves so seriously. I mean, most people, when you walk in the doors, will never be able to tell that you almost got divorced before church started. You just, nasty, and get the kids, and you get the kids, and you're always late. I'm always waiting for you. What in the world you got to put so much makeup on for? We're waiting forever. And you're at this point, now you're saying, it doesn't matter how much you put on, it's not going to help. And it's just bad. It's bad. And you walk in church, and it's like, everything's wonderful and everything's lovely. I'm not trying to say you're supposed to air your problems all over the place, but we take ourselves way too seriously. In the church, we spend so much time and energy trying to convince others that we're spiritual. Friends, tell you what, would you relax? Quit trying to prove it. Just be who you are. It's spiritual. See, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we all grow up. And for so many years, what we've meant, we have interpreted that verse to mean this. Okay, speaking the truth in love. That means this. I'll pick on somebody more in the back. Hi, brother. What's your name?
Alvin.
Alvin. Okay, here's what we have interpreted that scripture to mean, speaking the truth in love. Alvin, my dear brother, it pains me to do this, but you know the Bible says I got to speak the truth to you. I love you enough, and I hope you can take it, but man, you're a boogerhead. You know, you have been acting up. You are just nasty. You're bad. You just, oh, golly. You just, man, bad. You know? I have to admit, the Bible, that particular passage might mean that. I think it probably does. But I have to admit, I think in the greater sense, I think what that verse means is this. Speaking the truth in love, we all grow up. I'm going to speak the truth to you. I'm not going to try to give you the image or the impression and lie to you to make you think I am anything more than what I really am. And here's the funny thing, too. And Pastor Roger, I'm not sure if you enjoy this or not. I don't know. I get that sense you're just a real guy, and I love that. And I appreciate that about this place. But I tell you what, the church, and maybe not this church, but the church at large, you don't want to see a pastor be real. You set this guy up, and you want him to be this. And guess what? You put him in a position where he can't be real and step off the pedestal that you try to put him on. Now, does he deserve respect? Absolutely. The title, the position, and the man does. But you know something? He's just a real person. Remember the first time that I was getting my hair cut. Yeah, it was a few years ago. I'm in there getting a haircut, and I'm thumbing through the thing because the lady works that was going to cut my hair, you know, went to our church and all that, so I'm sitting there waiting. She knows my wife really, really well, obviously. I'm looking at this magazine, and I seen this haircut in one of the magazines. And Orlean's got curly hair, and this model had curly hair. And I said to, kept the magazine, so when I got into my chair to get my haircut, I said to Robin, I said, you know, this haircut here, this is really sexy. She just kind of, she said, I can't believe that a pastor, that you would think that was sexy. That's like, what do you think? You think I have blue blood in my veins? I am a red-blooded American male. With testosterone. Hello. I think we already covered this earlier, didn't we? I love women. I got some girlfriends. Oh, man, I do. I know, Pastor, I know your congregation would be surprised to find out you get some. But, man, as you get, you know, along, and I got some girlfriends. I meet with them every Monday, or not every Monday, but often. They're between 75 and 85 years old. I call them my girlfriends. I love women. Short women, tall women, skinny women, heavy women. Young women, old. Do you know why? Because I'm male. The minute I got ordained, God did not suck that out of me. How about you? Pastor? Yeah, amen. Amen. That's right. And that's what I mean. You see, we want to make everything a spiritual issue. It's not. It's a hormonal one. It's 82-year-old guy was asked, so when does sex lose its interest? He said, I don't know. Sometime after 82. Oh, we take ourselves way too seriously. We really do. You know, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus, because I have not attained. Does she need a fan back there? Does she need a, woo! Is that Pastor Raj's mom? Oh, no, that's her friend. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. And just exactly how old are you? No. Oh, yes. We are having way too much fun. And you know something? Here's the thing. Non-Christians would come to church. And again, this is a different setting. It doesn't have to be like this every Sunday. But there ought to be this idea of life and we're real and it's fun. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more fun than hearing the voice of God. There's nothing more fun than walking in fellowship with God. And it provides the joy and the energy of my life. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm awfully energetic. It's because of the joy of the Lord. I have never forgotten my salvation. Yes, there she goes. All right. Viva Viagra. I'm just thinking there's a champion back there for the commercial right there. Oh, man. You know, Jesus himself, when he walked this earth, he didn't levitate. He didn't walk off the earth. He was a real person, 100% human, doctrinally. This is good theology. 100% man and 100% God. He understands every single thing. And that's what the book of Hebrews says. We have not a high priest that does not understand our weaknesses and our trials. Because he's walked through, he understands every single one of our natures, of our desires, our being real. Friends, we take ourselves way too seriously. I try to remind myself not to take myself too seriously, but to take what I do very seriously. But myself, who am I anyway? I'm just a young kid God's called to preach, so I do that to the very best of my ability. Beyond that, I am no more important than any other person in our church. That's just my job. But man, I walk around our church, and there's about 800 people there on Sunday morning, and I walk around them, I am just one among many. Friends, we take ourselves way too seriously. In fact, I wish I had another whole hour to preach a sermon from Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus, it says, the power of the Lord. Roger, this will preach. It says, the power of the Lord was there to preach, to heal, I mean. The power of the Lord was there to heal. Now, we got this idea that, well, the Lord always had a chance to heal people. He always had the power to heal. But there's something special about this thing because it even emphasizes the power of the Lord was present to heal. It's the story where the guy came down through the roof. And it says, and the teachers of the law were sitting by. You know how many people got healed that day? One. Makes me ask the question, how many needed a healing? Probably almost everyone there needed a healing, a touch of the Lord of some sort. But you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, their titles would not allow them to enter in. And sometimes that's the way it is in church. Man, the Pastor Roger's preaching, or the church you go, I mean, he's sharing, and something is stirring in your heart and the Holy Spirit as he's speaking, and you want to respond, but you think, oh, what if so-and-so, or my position, or my title in the church? It prevents you from entering in. Friends, we take ourselves way too seriously. On any given moment, in fact, right now, guess what? Every one of us are dirt balls saved by God's grace. We are in deep need of him. In fact, I told you I was a drug addict and an alcoholic when I got saved. I know I needed God. But I tell you what, after walking with the Lord now for over 30 years, I need him more today than I did then. I need him. I'm a needy person. Lord, help us. Good morning. We're glad you made it. Man, we've been having so much fun. Now that you're here, I hope you don't ruin it. We've been having a ball here. We really have. What do you ride? What do you ride? A what? An Ultra. Oh. You know, so many people think that Harleys leak oil. They don't. They just mark their spot. Now, I don't even know what time I started anymore. Let me share this last thing, okay? Three reasons why we as Christians are phony. We don't live in truth. Number one, euphoric phobia. We're afraid of fun. Number two, we take ourselves way too seriously. And number three, we compartmentalize our lives, which is something that is really a Western culture kind of thinking. You know, we don't understand, you know, the Muslims, they live their faith. It's not something they just do. You know, they pray five times a day. It's everything they do is incorporated in because of their belief system. You and I in this Western world, in our culture, we do Christian stuff. I love it, man, in the 80s as a young Christian. They're going to have Christian roller skating on Friday night at whatever. And I'd say to my then girlfriend, I wonder how Christians skate different than regular people. Because this is going to be a Christian, you know, I think they skate like this. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, we do all these little things. We do Christian stuff instead of just be a Christian. I mean, literally just let your light so shine before men. The idea is, you know, I think as Christians, we're always trying to prove something. We're trying to prove that we're this. You know, it'll be obvious. Jesus was a magnet to people because he lived what he believed and he was a real person. He was honest. And I think you and I can be magnets to people when they see the reality of a living relationship with God. We compartmentalize our lives. Well, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And I tell you what, the world looks at that and goes, it's such a phony thing. Let me ask you a question. When you're in a restaurant and you pray for your meal, why do you pray? I mean, I know that some of you, you pray for your meal because you want to be a witness. If that's the reason why you pray when you're in a public place and you pray for a meal, I'd like to encourage you, stop it. Sounds funny, pastor telling you not to pray. Here's the thing, you're not really praying, you're trying to be something that you're not. Why do you pray for your meal when you're in public? If you pray because it's the Christian thing to do. Again, I personally would tell you, that's a poor reason to pray in public. If you pray for your meal when you're in a public restaurant because that's what you do all the time, it's just a part of your life, then continue doing it. Are you listening? You see how we do Christian things? And God wants us to live for him. And there is a huge difference. Amen? This idea of being phony, you know, we run around and we do all these things. I want to just end with a passage in Genesis chapter 3. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin. They take a bite of the forbidden fruit. And what do? Those of you who are familiar with the story, their eyes are opened, and they realize that they are sinners. They realize they're naked. God, you know, every once in a while, I won't go back there. Don't tempt me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They realize that their eyes were open. They realize they were naked. And you see, they used to walk with God every day. But now that they had sin in their life, God came walking in the cool of the day. And what'd they do? They went and hid. Let me read the scripture to you. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he did this every day. And they'd always come out to greet him. And they'd walk with God. They'd have this fellowship with God. But this time it says, because they had sinned, it says, they heard he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Where are you? I believe if you'll just listen for just a moment, you can hear God calling that even today. I believe God walks the face of the earth every day in a metaphorical sense, and he calls out, man, where are you? Why do you hide from me? Well, because we hide, because we have sin in our life. We feel guilty. Friends, I want to tell you something. From somebody who ran and hid for a long time, it's a great freedom to run out and say, God, here I am. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be restored. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. You see, the Bible says if you'll confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sin. You can have this in relationship with God. And again, some of you are, if you haven't committed your life to the Lord, you're like, well, in your mind, you got all these phony images like I've been spending all morning trying to talk about. And you say, I don't want to give my life to God because I think it means this. And I've seen this script. I don't want to be like that person. And I definitely don't want to be like Alvin back there. And I just, man, you know, I don't want to do that. Friends, I want to invite you. In fact, I'm going to give you an invitation in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something really bold and brave. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair. If you'll respond to the call of God and stand right here, I want to shake your hand, hug your neck. But here's the thing I want to ask you to promise me. You won't try to imitate necessarily some other Christian in all the things that they do. I want you to discover for yourself how much God loves you. He loves you. And all he wants at the very start is to embrace you. He calls out, he says, man, where are you? You see, but you're hiding. You're hiding. You got this deep, dark secret, and you think God wouldn't accept me if he knew about us. Here's the thing. God knows about it. He knows about everything. And he loves you. I give altar invitations because that's how I responded. I gave my life to Christ, an invitation just like this. Back then, the music was playing, and I specifically usually don't have music playing because to me, this is the most real event in ever. I don't have, you know, eyes, you know, heads bowed and eyes closed. And I know that there's no time for that. I don't, because the Bible says this. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. I believe heaven has a sign above it that says no wimps allowed. If you're going to be a follower of mine, you better boldly proclaim that you're not ashamed to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So I want to close with giving an invitation right now to you. If you can hear God's voice calling you in your spirit, man, where are you? Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Why don't you come? God is saying, come. So I wanted to ask you to get up out of your chairs right now. If you're willing to say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to walk with God, and I want it to start today. I want you to get up out of your chair and just come right down here, right now. And just be just yourself. Praise God. Come on down. Just come on down. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves you. Stay right here. God loves you, man.
Thanks, man.
Praise God. Stay right here for a moment. Praise God. God loves you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves you. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Here's the thing. I'm going to wait. I think this is the most real thing. And I want to just kind of somehow wish I could just kind of wipe any kind of a preconceived idea of what it means to be a Christian. I want to encourage you to read your Bibles, get involved in a church, and know this, that God loves you. And try to live for him. And realize that, you know something, you don't got to run and hide. He will set your life free. It's so cool living for God, amen? Amen. All those of you who are living for him, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, fantastic. Praise God. I'm going to wait just a moment longer. Don't go anywhere. Because God is calling. And to me, this is the most important thing. And I don't want you just to make an emotional response because, like I said, heaven has a sign above it that says no wimps allowed. If you're serious, if you can sense like I did the day I got saved, if you sense there's something stirring in your heart, and I know what it's like, there's a battle going on. You can feel it. It's like, God, I really want to, but I'm not ready yet. There's a battle going on. Guess what? If you feel that battle going on, then you need to come. I want to encourage you to come. Be bold. Right where we're at, just like these, and join them. Stand up and just come join me right now, right down here.
Chicken.
Bunch of wimps. See, that's what I think, too. I think anybody who's not a Christian, every once in a while, somebody tries it. When I got saved, you know, I was just, I'd bring a pound of marijuana to school and have it sold by third hour, right? I got saved. I started carrying a Bible around instead of drugs. And I'm carrying a Bible around. My friends would mock me, make fun of me, say, "Oh, look at Mike. He's carrying a Bible around. What a wimp." And I, one time with one kid, I said, "You think it's so easy here? You carry it." That's what I mean. It takes a little bit of humcha to be a Christian. Jesus said, "You'll be hated by all men for my name's sake." No wimps allowed. Jesus said, "I send you out like sheep in the midst of wolves." No wimps allowed. Anybody who's not a Christian, they're a wimp. What a wimp. You got to give your life for Jesus Christ and serve him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I'm going to pray and dismiss. Praise God. Isn't God good? Never too late. Ever. Never. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, you know, to the congregation here, Pastor Roger, Jim, Steve, those guys who put this thing on, outreach in the congregation, I want to just thank you for doing something a little different, reaching out and having something kind of fun and different and allowing me to be here. But I want to pray, and then we're going to turn it over to somebody who's going to give us some marching instructions. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every person in this room. Father, I pray that you will take the words that I have said, hopefully inspired by you. And if not, God, I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to turn them all for good. Father, that will stir us as Christians to make us think, to make us be real, to realize that we are real people living in a real world, worshiping a real God. Father, I pray for those that have responded this morning by getting up out of their chair and coming forward. Father, no wimps. Boldly, Father, I pray that you would just draw them in a close relationship with you, that, Lord, that they would sense your presence. Lord, that they would, as they grow as a Christian, as they would model for us what it means to not be phony, but to be real, but to be deeply, seriously in love with you. And Father, I thank you for this church. Father, I pray your blessing upon Pastor Roger, the staff, the people that go here, that this would be a nurturing environment, a place of freedom, a place of health. Father, a place that will continue to reach out, Father, to love the world, beginning with their immediate neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Mike. That's awesome. You know, at first you asked if you were on cable TV. You're not, but you are on the internet. So, just so you know. So.
I hope your office phone is working.
We'll forward it to you. Praise God. Awesome. We're so glad that you all came here today. What a blessing to have you come and participate in this special event. And I want to just say again, thank you, Mike, for coming and sharing and stirring us with an unusual message. We need to hear those kinds of things in church. And praise God. I thank you for your boldness. And if anyone in our congregation has any questions, go ahead and give me a call. It's just fine. But we warned them last week.
Right.
We did. We warned them last week. So, and I'd also like to thank the CMAers because I know that you guys are coming and helping be in support and helping with work, with setting up and serving and things like that. And we're just very appreciative. Thank you so much. And thank you, Jim, for coordinating the event. I think he's down in the helping with the food. But really appreciative. Now I want to share with you what to do with these cards. Hopefully, when you came into the door, you received one of these cards, unless you're a regular attender at Praise Fellowship Church, because what we'd like to do now is something special for you as guests here today. If you have just been maybe a visitor at our church for a few times, hopefully you got a card too, because we'd like you to participate in this as well. This is a response card that you can respond to Mike and the message that he shared, or just there's a couple of places to check. I enjoyed the event. I prayed with Mike to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, or I want to know more about having a personal relationship with Christ. And then you can just put any comments that you would like to regarding your experience here this morning. And we're open to constructive criticism as well, because we, as you have heard, this event is going to continue. We'd like to improve it as we can. But, and then please, your name and your address, and particularly email if you have that, because that allows us to easily disseminate information, share with you when our next event is going to be. Please make it legible, because, you know, mail will often go, snail mail will often go with a few mistakes, but email does not. So, you know, try to make it so we can read the email address, and we'll get you typed in that way. But the thing that we are going to do at this time is, if you have had the opportunity to fill out your card, we're going to receive those cards, and these will be for the drawing for the three Harley-Davidson $100 certificates. Again, if you're a regular attender at our church, we'd ask you not to put a card in. We want to just be a blessing to the guests that are with us here today. If by chance, by accident, your card gets slipped in, you know, you didn't hear this announcement or whatever, and if your card is drawn, we will just graciously set it aside and draw another one. So if you see us putting cards away, it's not because we don't like you or anything like that, but just so you know. Okay, are there any here who are our guests today that did not receive a card? Please raise your hand. We'll get you a card so you can fill this up. Here's one right up here. We'll get you a card so that you can fill this out and be a part of this special part of our event today. Anyone else? Sure. I just want you to know, too, Mike, that my wife does not look like a pastor's wife either. No, people. I'm not going to go on from that, because I probably would get in trouble. My children are present. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's go ahead and receive those cards. And as they're being received, I just want to share a few announcements for the people of our congregation. We are not receiving our tithes and offerings this morning. Didn't want to make that a part of this event. However, if you brought tithes and offerings, you can deposit them into the box that's back at the usher's station, a little black box that says tithes on there. Also says tapes if you're purchasing tapes. But so just be aware of that. But we will be receiving a free will donation for the lunch if any of you would like to participate in that. If you came and you do not have funds for lunch, don't worry about that. Just because that basket is there, you are not to feel compelled to participate in that. It's just if you would choose to, if you would like to, feel welcome to, but you are not compelled at all. So we'd love to have you all stay for lunch.